You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Most people who've seen the film version of William Inge's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Picnic, will remember the main plot line of how the life of a beautiful young woman, played by Kim Novak, is upended when a handsome drifter, William Holden, passes through a lazy Midwestern town one Labor Day weekend. But the play is actually quite an ensemble venture with a lot more story to it. And that's very apparent in a new Broadway Roundabout Theater Company revival directed by Sam Gold. Two of the people responsible for its being so powerful are Elizabeth Marvel, who plays Rosemary, and Mare Winningham, who stars as Flo. And I'm delighted to welcome both of them back to our show. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Had either of you seen the play or the movie version of Picnic before you signed on for this production?
I had. I saw the movie, and then I saw a production in Los Angeles in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of music in this production. Mm. I kept on expecting to hear On a Picnic Morning, but that's never part of the mix.
No, not in this production.
Well, what about you, Elizabeth?
I did. I saw the movie. I was not familiar with this Inge. I knew Bus Stop because I had done it at Williamstown a few years before, and I was very familiar with Come Back, Little Sheba and Dark at the Top of the Stairs, but I did not know Picnic, so when Sam approached me, I watched the film.
He also did the film script for a wonderful film, Splendor in the Grass.
Yes.
But so when you read it, were you surprised? Because it probably wasn't what you imagined. Well, you said you saw a production of it.
And I knew the territory of Inge, so I wasn't surprised. The thing that did surprise me, though, which I think has been a great part of our experience of mounting the play, is that it's such a story of women. Mm-hmm. And that really hit me when I read the script for the first time.
8 of the 11 member cast are women. Mm-hmm. And all but 2 are middle-aged women.
Mm.
Women who are likely to spend the rest of their lives unmarried.
Mm.
Yes, and who have dashed dreams and hopes, yeah.
I heard that originally Inge wrote 2 plays, Front Porch and Man in Boots, and
combined them.
They got combined. Do you know the story at all of how they evolved into Picnic?
I think it was a very long evolution, and then also a lot changed when it was brought to Broadway and with the director Josh Logan. A lot evolved then, and the ending was rewritten. So there were many stages to it, many productions along the way to what ended up the production that we know.
My understanding was he wanted a tragedy.
Yeah.
And he was pushed by a lot of forces to conclude it as a passionate romantic love story where...
But it has a lot of humor in it as well.
It does. Mm. It can play on a light level really effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But you get
mm-hmm.
a lot of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
But is that just in the script? Or is that also a directorial
decision? I think there are punchlines in the script, and what surprised me reading it was the deeper stuff. I didn't get the deeper stuff till we got in the rehearsal room and talked with Sam and the other actors. Then I realized I had missed quite a bit of the tragedy.
And it's interesting. For instance, there's a scene that I play in the third act, between Howard and Rosemary, and it's a famous scene.
It's a very great scene.
It's a great scene.
And the two of you, well, you're also playing it with Reed Birdie.
That's right. He's wonderful.
Fabulous actor.
And it's very interesting because the music of that scene can be very comedic because there's a lot of threes, which is comedy. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I was really hearing the music comedically, and we were getting a lot of laughs. And then Sam came, our unbelievably wonderful and brilliant director, and said to me that he did not want the audience to feel confident about Rosemary at the end of the scene. He wanted the audience to be very concerned when I left the stage. And so it's very interesting because I think Inge's ear, and also being such a stage veteran at that point, writing such hits at that time, you can play it. You can play the comedy. You can hear the music comedically, or you can follow a different kind of story.
Well, when I saw it, you could hear a pin drop in the audience during that scene.
Yeah.
People are just so riveted by it. But do you think that Inge doesn't get the kind of respect he might deserve these days? He was really at the top of his game during his heyday, and he had all those hits. And he kind of the feeling when the play was revived was, oh, is it going to look really dated?
Right. Right. There is a simplicity to his language. He places things in a very mundane circumstances, you know, getting ready for a picnic one afternoon, doing chores, walking here and there, doing laundry, making deviled eggs. There's no real poetry in the language like in Tennessee Williams.
They're very similar in a lot of other ways.
They're
but
so
not
similar in other ways
in
terms of their love of humanity and their respect for the tragic elements of humankind. But I think Inge's language is so much simpler that it can be maybe overlooked the way you're saying in terms of great playwriting. But my understanding from my kids is that they teach Inge in college as and Picnic in particular as a perfectly structured play.
It is.
Is that right?
Inge, Hellman, I mean, these plays, they're so muscular, and the structure, the form, it's just fantastic. And I think also a lot of Inge's plays, which is why they're still with us and so meaningful, is because it's about that struggle between morality and sensuality, eroticism. It's that wrestling match that I think is very relevant still in our culture.
My guests are Elizabeth Marvel, who plays Rosemary Sidney, and Mayor Winningham, who plays Flo Owens in a new production of Picnic put together by the Roundabout Theater Company. And it's on 42nd Street.
Yep.
Right on 42nd Street at the American Airlines Theater, which I think once was a movie theater. What's it like to work in a converted movie theater?
It's actually a beautiful theater. I'm happy to report because I find the name
regrettable.
A little unnerving.
Right, you expect to fly.
Sorry, American.
You should be doing Boeing.
But it's a beautiful
it's really
theater.
Pretty.
It's beautiful. And acoustically, it's great.
Seems small, actually.
It does. It's intimate.
And then Sam Gold seems to like to put things on a very shallow stage. And look back in anger, he had, I don't think they had more than five
that
or
was,
six
that
feet.
That was shocking, wonderfully
but here,
shocking.
But here you also have a very narrow strip. And in some cases, almost all the cast members are out there at the same time.
Yeah.
The set is so special. Andrew Lieberman, the set designer, created this additional architecture inside the house. So there are things going on inside the house as well as on the back porch. And it provides this whole other world to watch and look at and hear.
Because we see people working in the kitchen
through
the window.
Up the stairs, upstairs, downstairs, yeah.
What did you have to do to channel the 1950s? Did you watch old movies?
Something that was incredibly helpful to me, while we were in rehearsal, the Dust Bowl series came on PBS. And I started watching that at night when I'd get home from rehearsal, and that was incredibly informative to me. And the kind of work that Sam was encouraging us to do was this very imaginative, like, create your world, your character's history. And there was a night that, because a lot of the people in the Dust Bowl, they were from Kansas, and there was a woman who was talking about growing up on this farm in Kansas and how her clothes would be made out of the sackcloth from the feed bags. And all of the girls at school would have the same little dresses made out of the same sackcloth. And I thought, that's Rosemary. And that is why she is so engaged and defined by her clothes and going to Kansas City and buying this outfit and spending $22.50 on a hat and the gloves. And there's a deep, deep emotional investment in appearance. And so that is where my work went.
And almost all the characters talk about their clothing at one point or another.
Yes, they do. And I enjoyed, he sent our way some YouTube films from the late 40s and 50s of that were, I think, shown originally in high schools of manners and conventions of the times. And I thought I found that really helpful.
You were here last for your role in Tribes, where you played a mother of three. Here you're playing a mother again. Is this typecasting for you?
Well, it's life, right?
you have five kids?
I do, yeah.
She's fiercely protective of her two daughters, Flo is, especially the beauty Madge. She's a single mother, doesn't want to see her daughter make the same mistake she did. How did you go about finding the heart of that character?
Well, Sam Gold had talked to me about the last 2 minutes of the play and what he was hoping would happen there. And they needed to be then set up from the beginning. And I think what struck me about Flo and what I keep getting struck by every night is that she's so unprepared for the result of the last minute and a half. She completely believes that she can make happen what she knows has to have happen.
My brother and I took my brother to see it.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about the ending. And he asked me, do you think anybody writes a play with an ending like that anymore? Endings today are, well, I don't know whether that matters, but the play does leave you feeling.
Yeah, and I want to say something I hope is not too outrageous, but I find more than 50% of the ending credited to Sam as opposed to Inge. I don't know if that's a sacrilegious thing to say, but if you read the play or see it or see the movie, this is not the ending you're getting in our production. Mm. So I'm just going to go
even
out on a limb and say that.
Even though you're using
that.
The script.
I think you're right.
Elizabeth, it took me a while to realize that it was you playing the Spencer School teacher, Rosemary. Nothing like the part of the daughter that you played in Other Desert Cities, which brought you to the show not all that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's the character who's most full of life in this play. The one who wants to dance.
Yes.
Although she always gets upstaged by the beauty, Madge. Mm-hmm. Do you like this character?
I love her so much. I love her so much. Something that always I look for when I take on a role is, are they a fighter? Are they going to engage? And she is going to fight to make her life pan out the way she wants it to. And she's going to have a good time. She's going to fight to have a good time. She's going to rage against the dying of the light. And I think she's a woman who sees the end of the pier and does not want to cross the water.
She doesn't live the
fear.
Rest of her life alone.
That's right, as she says.
Merritt, is it true that this is both your Broadway debut and your first time working with Sam Gold?
Yes.
Now, you've been in off-Broadway productions. What took you so long to walk a couple of blocks over to Broadway?
Well, actually, it seems very short to me. My kids, I had to raise them outside of New York, so I wasn't able to do theater. So from the time the last one went to college until now, it's only been, 5 years, 7 years, so I did some off-Broadway and made it.
Well, I heard that you once wanted to be a singer-songwriter more than an actor.
I thought that was going to happen. We're talking ancient history. But
you turned down the part in Georgia as a superstar pop singer.
No, that's not really true. I don't know. That got spun out of control. I was concerned about, I was releasing my first record at the time, and Barbara Turner and Jennifer Jason Leigh had written this movie in which I was supposed to play a famous singer-songwriter, and I was concerned that would be weird, but
it
I certainly
okay
didn't
for
turn
you?
It down. It did okay for me.
Got an Oscar nomination. So do you still do any music?
I do, yeah, but a lot of living room, a lot of dressing room, and shows a couple times a year.
And Elizabeth, you've been in quite a few movies since we last saw you. Tony Gilroy's The Bourne Legacy, Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
Uh-huh. And Hyde Park on the Hudson, yeah.
Mm-hmm. People always ask that question, do you like movies better than theater? And the actors always say, I like both of them.
Well,
But you always do return to theater, it seems.
Of course, yes.
So we didn't mention that Ellen Burstyn does an amazing performance as your neighbor, Mrs. Pott. And she seems to be a lot of fun to work with.
Oh, she's magnificent.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting phenomenon because it's a show packed with leading ladies in an ensemble. And that's rare. You know, it's a stage full of leading ladies all working as a group, which is a very cool dynamic.
Does this have an open run?
No, we close February 24th, so you better go, listeners.
Go now. Go now.
And it's you fun. Have to get out because Roundabout has something else coming in.
They're subscriber-based, so they have a season, and so the next one's coming in. The Big Knife, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that should be exciting.
Yeah, that should be fun.
But it also means, I'd imagine this is bittersweet. You can move on to other things. You don't have to feel trapped. On the other hand, actors often tell me that they love long runs because the longer they go, the more they understand their characters.
That's true. And also, this is a real special ensemble. It's a beautiful group of unbelievably talented actors, top to bottom. There's not a weak link in this company.
Well, I thank both of you. Two
it's
very talented actors
yes.
for being here.
I love the show.
Me too.
Elizabeth, well, come back sometime.
Okay.
Be in another good thing.
There you go.
Elizabeth Marvel, Mayor Winningham, they're in Picnic, which is the Roundabout Theater Company production at the American Airlines Theater at 227 West 42nd Street. If you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org.